Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole with us this morning, back from the General Assembly. Delegate Cole, good morning. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Ted.
You just get back, and next Wednesday's the veto session?
Yep, April 3rd is the veto session, where we deal with vetoes that the governor has made, and also he's amended several bills, and we'll deal with those amendments as well.
Let me ask about a couple of them that were kind of big yesterday. The one, I guess, that got really got the most attention was the handheld devices. Driving with a handheld device, and the bill had made it to where it was only in, you couldn't do it in construction zones.
Well, there were two bills. There was one that was an outright ban on handheld devices. You couldn't, you know, while driving, you couldn't have a cell phone in your hand for any reason. That passed the House, and passed the Senate in an amended version, and then it couldn't make it out of conference committee. The House and Senate conferees could never agree on a good compromise that both bodies would support. So that died. However, there was another bill, like you said, that just banned the use in work zones.
Yeah.
And that passed, but it's gone to the governor, and he's amended it. My understanding is he's amended it to make it basically the statewide ban on handheld devices while driving. I don't know if that's germane or not. That's something that the speaker would have to look into, but I suspect that it will pass the House, since the initial bill to ban, you know, cell phones while driving, at least handheld. You could have the hands-free.
You can make use of the hands-free and stuff, but
not handheld while driving. I suspect it will pass the House.
And then again, but then we go back to what you just mentioned. Go back to the Senate, was where the problem lied.
Yeah. That's where the issue was last time. And so we'll see. And also, there are concerns. I know in the Black Legislative Caucus, they had concerns about, you know, making it easier to pull people over for driving while black. You know, that's one of their concerns with it. And that's why a lot of them have opposed this legislation in the past.
The other one was that I saw from yesterday was the governor making a renewed effort to end driver's license suspensions over unpaid court costs.
Yeah, that's kind of one of these things where you're trying to have a tool where you can collect unpaid fines and court costs, but then, you know, people will say, well, geez, if they don't have a driver's license, they can't go to work to make money to pay them, and so you kind of get in a catch-22 there. So we'll see how that goes. And plus, some of the courts have said that you have to have a nexus. It has to be related to driving or something like that for you to be able to withhold their driver's license. And so, you know, that's kind of up in the air right now.
That was when that came up. That was one of those kind of bills that you think, and you think, I didn't even know that there was that was even out there.
Yeah,
you did hear, you heard from people that it did affect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can kind of see the point that if you can't get to work, you can't make money to pay your fines, and so you're kind of, like I said, in a catch-22. Though I know with we've had dealt with issues from constituents before where now with the internet, all the states are interconnected now, and people who might have gotten a ticket years ago in another state All of a sudden, that shows up in their database now, and DMV won't renew their license until they go pay that fine. I know I had a guy who was in the Navy back in the 80s, and he got like a parking ticket in Charleston, South Carolina, and he said he paid it. But according to Charleston, you know, he didn't. And so they, you know, over a 30-year-old parking ticket, DMV was holding up his driver's license.
Wow.
And he tried to, you know, contact the folks in Charleston, and they didn't have any record of it. You know, 30-year-old parking ticket, who's going to keep a record that long?
Yeah.
And so we eventually got it worked out. But, you know, these issues, I mean, you know, they can really create a problem for somebody when they arise.
I never even thought of it, because I know of a lot of people that will sometimes go cross country on motorcycles, and they get tickets in Montana and figure, I'm never coming back here.
They
don't pay it. But now
with the internet, everybody's connected, and the states, all, you know, all the DMVs have these agreements that will help you collect your fines if you help us collect our fines. You know, so it's kind of, sometimes it's a creates a unique situation.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole with us this morning. As we go along this morning, we're going to talk about how some of your bills did during the General Assembly session. This had to be, you've been down there a long time now, and this was had to be just unlike any session you had ever dealt with, when all of a sudden on a Friday night, in end of January, everything started. And really over the course of a week with what happened with the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the attorney general. Wow.
Yeah, this was a strange session. I've been down there, you know, for a lot of them, and this was the weirdest session. Seems like just about every day we had protesters protesting something down there. It was either protesting the governor, or lieutenant governor, or us, or something. Almost every day, kept the Capitol Police jumping. There was times when I had to have a police escort to go back and forth with all the protesters and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was a strange session. And I know initially there were concerns that we might not be able to get an agreement with the governor on the tax issue and the budget and things like that. But I tell you, it seemed like once his problems hit the news, he became much more willing to compromise. And overall, I thought the session went very well, despite the protests and stuff. We were able to get a good compromise on the tax issue to try to, you know, get Virginians some of their tax money back. Didn't get everything we wanted, but probably got about 80-85% of it. So I thought overall that was a good compromise on the tax issue. And I feel like, we got a pretty good budget. I mean, the budget is huge, and there's always things you like and don't like about it. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good session.
Well, state Republicans had a plan for this tax, the tax situation right away, and I did kind of sense that it seemed like people were more open to compromise when all of a sudden you had all these distractions.
That's absolutely correct, because like I said, initially people were some folks were thinking, oh, there's no way we're going to be able to get the compromise through or anything like that, and lo and behold, things started moving fairly quickly on it. And like I said, while we didn't get everything we wanted, we got most of it. So, I think it was a good session.
We have not heard the word compromise too often lately.
Yeah,
to be talking about that there was was a good thing.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, the nature of politics has gotten so polarized, and everything is such a partisan issue now. And a lot of folks, they're instead of trying to work out a compromise, they're just trying to position for the next election.
Yeah,
and that's not how it should be. You know, you ought to try to work out compromises, and as long as the compromise takes you in the right direction, and work on issues wherever you can.
Yeah. Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole here. He represents the 88th District. We're talking about the just concluded General Assembly session. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WF.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Colin with us this morning. He's from the 88th District. The 88th is a funny district. And you've got you're dealing with Spotsylvania, the city, and a little bit of Fauquier too.
And Stafford,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense if you look at the corridors, because basically it's the Route 3 corridor in Spotsylvania and the Route 17 corridor in Stafford and Fauquier. So, it does look weird on the map, but if you look at kind of the communities of interest, it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot to keep up with those localities and just keeping up with just their elected officials and just going back and forth. A lot of miles on the car, I guess.
Yeah. You do run around a lot. It's a good district, a lot of good people in it, and I'm honored to represent them.
You've been representing them since?
Since 2002.
Okay. I was trying to think. Was it 2000 or 2002. And then you also on the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. So you have a couple of years?
Yeah, I was on the Board of Supervisors for a couple of years before I got elected to the House.
As far as is some of your legislation and some of your bills this session, how did they do?
Well, overall, I thought we did fairly well. You don't ever get everything you want, but we got some good legislation through. One of them is the resolution calling on the Commonwealth Transportation Board to come up with a strategic plan to improve I-95 from Thornburg up to the Springfield interchange. That's one of the most congested areas, not just in the state, but in the country. And the Commonwealth Transportation Board and VDOT have been really slow, almost delinquent in, I think, coming up with a strategic plan to improve that. Now, they have done a lot of good work, and a lot of good work is ongoing, in certain areas and spots. With the Rappahannock Crossing project, that will certainly be helpful. And they are extending the hot lanes down to Route 17 in Falmouth. Overall, they need an overall plan to improve the regular lanes in this corridor, and they don't have one. It's kind of like it was years ago. When the HOV lanes, for years, they just ended in Prince William County.
Yeah.
And you'd ask VDOT, well, when are y'all going to extend the HOV lanes further south? And they said, oh, we have no plans to. And it's like, no, that's unsat. And then that gave the opportunity for Transurban to step in and say, hey, we'll extend them for you, but there's going to be a price. And that's how they ended up getting turned into toll lanes because VDOT and the CTB were sitting on their hands. And it's the same situation now with the regular travel lanes. You ask VDOT, well, do you have a plan to add another lane to the regular travel lanes on 95? And they say, no, we have no plan. And I think that's just unacceptable. We've got to come up with a plan. And I know it's going to be cost prohibitive, but you got to at least have a plan so that when money comes available, you never know. They're talking about in Congress passing an infrastructure bill. I'd like to be able to get some of that money and spend it on I-95 if Congress is going to do that. But right now, like I said, they just don't have a plan, a major plan to improve I-95.
Which it's just amazing when you think of that. Of how can that be? You go out any time of day, and you see what we see.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, I've served with five governors in my time in the General Assembly. And while they all pay lip service to transportation, only one of them made transportation a real priority when it came to putting money to it, and that was Bob McDonnell. All the other four governors, whether it's Warner, Kane, McAuliffe, and now Northam, transportation just hasn't been a priority for them. In VDOT and the Commonwealth Transportation Board, they work for the governor. They don't work for the General Assembly. And so, we're to the point now where I think, the General Assembly needs to assert itself and start taking more of a leadership role on these transportation issues, because it's obvious the governor is not going to.
Well, and it trickles down to where localities like Stafford and Spotsylvania are now paying.
Yeah.
And in doing bonds or finding ways to pay for some of these just to get some things done.
Yep, you're right. And, a lot of this stuff is long overdue, especially now. We're seeing a resurgence in growth in the area. People are moving to the area. And if history, holds true, most of those folks that move here are going to want to get on 95. To go to work in the morning and come home at night, and 95 is already pretty much too blocked, and so if we don't do something, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse.
Well, you drive around Spotsylvania, Stafford these days, and you start seeing some of these subdivisions that were approved years ago and never got built when things were slow, and it's starting.
Yeah. So that resolution did pass, so I'm hopeful that will spark the CTB to really start working on the issue and come up with a decent plan to add another lane to I-95, so that we can at least start addressing that issue.
So that will start. Or the Commonwealth Transportation Board is going to be the one that spearheads this.
Yeah, and see, right now we're down a member for the Fredericksburg District.
Yeah.
Previous member resigned, and the governor still hasn't appointed anybody, which, I just think speaks volumes as to where transportation is on his list of priorities. I mean, it's been months.
For this area.
That the Fredericksburg District hasn't had a representative on the Commonwealth Transportation Board, and that's all because the governor has been slow to move.
Yeah. What other things did you have?
Well, we had legislation passed that tried to help military families. Virginia has a large contingent of military here. And what the old rules were that in order for a kid to be able to enroll in school or different school programs and stuff, they had to establish residency.
Hmm.
Well, that's kind of tough on military families. When you get orders, you're moving to that area, but it may be several months later. And by then, it might be too late for your children to get enrolled in all the programs at school that they want, and they're behind. So we've had legislation passed that if a military family has orders to move into the area, then they can go ahead and start enrolling their kids in these different school programs and things, try to smooth the transition. Military kids, they move a lot. During their school career, it can be very disruptive. So we're just trying to ease the transition and make it a little bit easier for them.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole in with us this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You have one more before we take a break. Anything else that you were working on?
Well, we also got a bill for try to help with some of the stormwater issues in the area and drainage issues. It enables localities, if they choose to set up a grant fund to try to help fix some of these drainage problems in neighborhoods and areas. A lot of the older neighborhoods were built back, 30, 40 years ago when there really were no stormwater management standards. And so these communities are having drainage problems now. And especially this past year with all the rain we've had, and this would be just another tool if the localities wanted to that they could use to try to help address some of those stormwater issues.
Maybe it's just because of social media, but it seemed like I saw on your Facebook page throughout the session that you had a lot of a lot of elected officials and just a lot of people from the area coming down to see you. Is there more? Are people coming down to Richmond to lobby various issues?
Yeah, it does seem like more and more every year, more people are coming down to meet the legislators and talk about issues and things like that. Plus, you know, I'm trying to get more savvy on social media as well, and get the, you know, I had a younger aide this last session, and she told me, says, anything you do, you got to put it on, take a picture and put it on social media. So we're trying to get better at doing that and all. But yeah, we did have a lot of folks coming down to visit us during session, and you know, some of it was just visiting and seeing the Capitol.
Yeah.
And some of it was lobbying on issues of concern to them and their groups. And I would encourage anybody who hasn't to get down to Richmond and visit the Capitol. It is a historic building. It was designed by Thomas Jefferson. It's the second oldest Capitol building in the country. Annapolis is the oldest.
Okay.
And Virginia has the second oldest Capitol building in the country. And also, Virginia is the oldest legislative body in not just in the country, but in the New World. Been meeting since 1619, so this year is our 400th anniversary. And so I can't think of a better time to take the family down and get a tour of Richmond than on the 400th anniversary of the Virginia General Assembly.
Oh, it is. And sometime or another, you ought to just, if you have to, if there are a few holidays throughout the session, but you ought to bring your family down and just sit through parts of the House and Senate sessions, because they're really interesting. And what's really interesting is the two bodies, they couldn't be much different. I mean, they really are different.
Yeah.
The way the Senate presides over things and the way the House does.
Yeah. Well, I like to tell people to, you know, when we're in session, come on down and visit, and you can see the General Assembly in action, and you can take that one of two ways: in action or inaction.
Inaction, yes. So. But it is. It's a great tour. The Capitol itself is just a lot of the artifacts there. But also watching the General Assembly is great too. Mark Cole here this morning from the 88th District. We will continue when we come back. Town Talk Finance by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole in with us this morning. We're looking back at the 2019 Virginia General Assembly session. Again, next Wednesday is the veto session, where the General Assembly goes back. That's just one day. You just go back for pretty much an afternoon, isn't it?
Just one day. You know, and we both bodies, they deal with the amendments that the governor's made to legislation, and also vote on the vetoes. Realistically, you know, we're not going to override any of his vetoes. He vetoed, I think, 13 different bills. And so, you know, those bills for practical purposes are dead. In the House, we would need 16 Democrats to vote with us to override a veto, and that's just not going to happen.
You were front and center on a number of bills this year, and I know you usually don't like this. But you're not one seeking the spotlight, but by being on the being the chairman of the privileges and elections, you deal have dealt with some pretty big stuff. And this year we talked about it when we previewed the session earlier in the year. You had said the ERA was going to be a big issue, and boy, it sure was.
Yeah, it was. You know, and just to give people some history on it's an equal rights amendment. It was submitted by Congress in 1972 with a 7-year deadline for ratification. And that was not unusual. A lot of amendments Congress submitted to the states had 7-year deadlines. So it was kind of had become standard practice at the time. And it appeared initially to be speeding towards ratification. They got 35 states to ratify it. And then there were concerns raised about the language. The language was pretty broad, and there were concerns that it would do away with separate facilities for men and women in public institutions, such as, you know, dormitories mm-hmm. at public colleges. Maybe you couldn't have separate boys and girls teams anymore at public schools, things like that. And as well as, concerns about how it would be implemented and things like that. And once those concerns were raised, not only did no new states ratify it, but 5 states rescinded their ratification. And so as the deadline, 1979 deadline approached, Congress extended the deadline for, I think it was 3.5 more years to 1982. And still, as the second deadline approached, no new states ratified it, and so it expired. And the U.S. Supreme Court has acknowledged that it expired because there were several lawsuits pending at the Supreme Court when it expired, and the Supreme Court just dismissed all those lawsuits because the Equal Rights Amendment had expired and was no longer valid or before the states. And even the proponents admitted that, and they submitted a new ERA in Congress that never passed. Then what happened was in the early 90s, the 27th Amendment to the Constitution dealing with congressional pay was ratified long after it had been submitted to the states.
Yeah.
The difference between those two amendments is that Congress didn't put a deadline on the 27th Amendment, and they did put a deadline on the Equal Rights Amendment. But anyways, when that passed, some of the equal rights activists got together and said, hey, let's pretend that there was no deadline on the Equal Rights Amendment, and let's start trying to get states to ratify it again. And so that's kind of where we're at with that. The fact is that the Equal Rights Amendment has expired and is not validly before the states. The U.S. Supreme Court has acknowledged that fact. And so these groups, I think a lot of them are just doing it to try to create a political wedge issue. And others are using it to raise money and make money off of. I mean, you know, money and politics go hand in hand. Also, I'd like to point out that some of the issues that they raise about women not having equal rights are also not valid. They talk about equal pay. Well, equal pay has been in federal law since 1963. Equal pay has been in state law since 1974. So if there are any employers out there who are discriminating on pay between men and women, they're already violating state and federal law. Also, the courts have ruled that women already have equal constitutional rights in the federal constitution with the 14th and 5th Amendments. That's why VMI was ordered to begin admitting women more than 20 years ago. And also Virginia state constitution already bans discrimination based on sex, but it has additional language that basically says the mere separation of the sexes shall not be considered a violation of it. So you can have, you know, like separate male and female dormitories at colleges and separate programs for boys and girls in high schools and things like that. So there were a lot of issues with the Equal Rights Amendment. And that's why it didn't pass to begin with. So I have sponsored a resolution calling on Congress to submit a new Equal Rights Amendment to the states for ratification, but with, you know, improved language to address the concerns that caused the initial Equal Rights Amendment to fail. And hopefully Congress will take that up, in the future.
Well, that would be a way then to to judge how things are, you know, where it stands today.
Yeah. And like I said, I certainly support equal rights for everybody. But there's a process you have to go through and you have to respect to amend the Constitution. And you can't short circuit that.
How, as you've described it, I mean, it just seems pretty cut and dry that there's not a lot of ambiguities here. But yeah. if you listen to others, they try to create that.
Yeah, they do. And, like I said, what they're hoping for is that they'll get, another state to ratify it. Then they'll file a suit in federal court. And, of course, now you can find a judge shop. You can find a federal judge who will rule any way you want. And so what they're hoping to do is that if another state ratifies it, they want to ignore the fact that five states, rescinded their ratifications and that 24 other states put basically a deadline on the ratification
yeah.
that expired decades ago. They want to ignore all the facts that they don't like and just try to go to court and get a federal judge to rule. Yeah, it's part of the Constitution now. You have to do it. And all that's going to do is be more divisive and more polarizing when if you do it the right way, this should be an issue that brings everybody together. Because I don't know anybody that supports, discrimination, like what they're talking about.
Boy, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show when we were talking about just what a different kind of session this was, and I guess it was probably over this one when you had to have – you talked about having to have a police escort.
Yeah, yeah.
For somebody like you, but for anybody, but boy, you got to just wonder.
Yeah.
And some of the things that were said about you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they do, folks, some folks, they just go off the deep end when it comes to political issues like that. They're not interested in sitting down and talking to you and stuff. And so they just want either a campaign issue or an issue to raise money off of. Or, like I said, this is, a trumped up political wedge issue that they try to score political points off of.
It's interesting. I mean, like you say, just to sit down. I mean, I just – you and others, I mean, you're a reasonable person.
I try to be.
And a lot of times, you just think if you would just sit down and you could talk about these things and work something out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least talk about it.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. And like I said, there's already all kinds of laws on the book to prohibit – discrimination based on sex. I had staff look it up, and there's more than 125 different federal laws banning discrimination based on sex, and there's at least 50 or more state laws banning discrimination based on sex, and that includes employment protections and equal pay protections and all these issues that they care about. But it's just they want this political wedge issue, and they don't want to go about adopting it the right way. There's a right way and a yeah. wrong way, and they're choosing the wrong way to do it right now.
The other issue that had you up and talking more than I had remember you in recent sessions, and this was right towards the end of the session, you were the author, weren't
yeah.
you, of some redistricting
yeah.
legislation?
Yeah, we passed a constitutional amendment to the state constitution to set up a independent redistricting commission to draw the lines when we do redistricting again in 2021. And that was a lot of, work and compromise. But overall, I think we came up with a good plan to set up an independent commission to handle redistricting next time we do it. But it is a constitutional amendment, so it has to, pass this year. It needs to pass again next year and then be approved by the voters before it becomes law. And so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get it passed again next year, though depending on how the elections go this year, not to get overly political, but I'm concerned that if the Democrats take over the General Assembly this year, they will have little incentive pass it again because they will have total control then.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we'll see how it goes in the future.
Well, and as much as this has been debated and talked about, mm-hmm. and in some circles said, well, the Republicans are the ones blocking this, the fact that you proposed
this.
Well,
there's this group called Virginia 2021, One Virginia 2021. They started up right after the last redistricting.
Yeah.
And basically, they were been pushing legislation probably for 7 or 8 years now. But they're hardly a nonpartisan organization. They're run by, basically Democrats who, and the legislation they've pushed in the past would have given Democrats like a 2-to-1 advantage on this supposedly independent redistricting commission. And so they've made political hay out of this issue for several years now. And I just kept telling them, well, one, their plan is not a bipartisan plan. It's, favors the Democrats. And then two, it's not time yet. I mean, we don't have to do redistricting again till 2021. So now is the time to start acting on that and setting the groundwork for it, not 6 or 7 years ago, especially since we had lawsuits and lawsuits are still pending over redistricting. And, based on the rulings, it can change what you can and cannot consider when you do redistricting. So, it was premature before, but now is the time to move forward on it.
There is a the Supreme Court just heard of this redistricting case in Virginia.
Yeah.
Now your district doesn't change.
No, it's not one of the 11 districts that's affected by the lawsuit. So I don't expect it will change. I will say that unfortunately the federal appeals court is a partisan court. We went before a 3-judge panel that were 2 Democrats and 1 Republican. And so the vote, guess, surprise, surprise, was always 2-1. And they picked for the new maps, they drew their own maps. And it's obvious they drew it to favor Democrats. The 2 federal judges are wanting to help the Democrats take over the General Assembly in this year's elections, and they couldn't have drawn a better map to help the Democrats. And so that's all pending before the U.S. Supreme Court now. Hopefully the saner heads will prevail on the Supreme Court, and they'll step in and stop this judicial gerrymandering that's going on right now.
Well, and especially since, like you say, 2021, there's going to be redistricting mm-hmm. again.
Yeah, yeah.
So in some ways, you could almost wait.
And I'd just like to point out that this last redistricting plan that we did in 2011 – it was a bipartisan plan because in 2011, the House was controlled by Republicans and the Senate was controlled by Democrats, and the plan had to pass both bodies, and it did. Our current governor, who's blasting us now, he voted for the plan in 2021, it was approved by President Obama's Justice Department, gave it a thumbs up. And so what happens is these political groups, and again, they are politically motivated. What they'll do is they'll file suit and just basically judge shop and try to find a friendly judge that will rule and make up new rules that they apply after the fact.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will wrap this up with Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole this morning from the 88th District when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Cozy elegance in a warm and welcoming setting. A compassionate, caring staff. This is what you'll experience at Hartfields Assisted Living and Memory Care. Hartfields takes a 360 approach to activities, focusing on the physical, intellectual, emotional, social, and spiritual aspects of all their residents. To schedule a complimentary lunch tour or to find out more about Hartfields, go to 5starseniorliving.com. That's 5starseniorliving.com or call 540-373-8800, 373-8800.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. Waking up every day, lifting him from the bed to the wheelchair to the car to get him to therapy on time, it's no small task between the doctors and the diagnosis, but nothing can disable this love. This is my big brother, my hero. He's part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. See, there's no time for tired. This starts again tomorrow. He'll be waiting for me. I wake up for him. I know he needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community, or call 877-333-5885. Caregiving Resource Center, support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom. I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole, our special guest this morning from the 88th District, as we look back at the General Assembly. One of the things, Delegate Cole, I saw this on Facebook last week, and I thought, here's an example of things that we don't think about that you have to do. You and some others from the legislature were at Dominion Raceway for the Rappahannock River Basin Commission.
Yeah, that's right. Legislators are appointed to various boards and commissions that meet throughout the year. I'm on the Rappahannock River Basin Commission, have been for many years. And that's just a group of local officials and state officials. Yeah. That from the localities along the Rappahannock River, and they talk about issues affecting the river and the bay as well, to try to improve the water quality and control runoff and issues like that, you know, with the goal of cleaning up the Chesapeake Bay, which I think Virginia has made significant progress on. Some of the other states like Pennsylvania have not done so much, but I think Virginia's done a really good job in the last several decades of trying to clean up the waters of the bay and the Rappahannock River and various other bodies of water. I'm also on the Small Business Commission that meets throughout the year. And again, we try to deal with issues affecting small businesses and entrepreneurs.
I would think probably during the course of a year, you probably travel to a lot of far faraway places in the state just because you're on things like this.
Yeah, you do a fair amount. And with redistricting coming up too, last redistricting, we ended up having public hearings across the state that I had to go to and chair and try to get public input on redistricting. I don't know how that will change if we can get this independent redistricting commission set up. Maybe I won't have to do that anymore and let the independent redistricting commission do it. While it's certainly not as busy as session where you have to go to Richmond every day, you know, you do have various duties throughout the year, depending on what boards and commissions you're appointed to, and also just trying to help constituents out, you know, if they have issues with state government.
What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you can go to my webpage. It's marklcole.com. It has all my contact information on that. And you can email me at delegate@marklcole.com. Don't forget the L in the middle of Mark Cole, or you'll go to some other guy's webpage in Indiana, I think. But you know, all my stuff is on the web, and I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram if people want to follow me there.
You're in more things than I am. You are out there. Delegate Cole, thanks for your service, and thanks for the update, and we'll stay in touch. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole with us this morning. That's it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.